My next guest is on the line, and I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. He's Grant Gochen. He's a diplomat. He's a journalist. He's also a wealth advisor, but that bit we're not going to key into this afternoon. He's coming in for a lot of stick on social media in South Africa, and he's kind of publicly responding to it, which I thought was pretty brave. So, Grant, great to have you back with me on Chai FM.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's really interesting times.
It's very interesting times. You are clearly irritating a lot of people. What are you getting up to, and why are they having such a problem with you?
The people I'm bothering and irritating are either not very intelligent,
okay,
are extremely ideological, have no value for their own integrity or credibility. So I'm being accused of having arranged the June 30 activities in South Africa. Apparently, I'm in charge of Israel, and I'm in charge of the US government, and I'm in charge of the Mossad. I'm controlling the whole worldwide conspiracy, and apparently I'm manipulating everybody in South Africa to be xenophobic and Afrophobic. And I'm just so proud of myself that I have that much power, that much authority. My mom would have been so proud of me for manipulating the whole world. It's just, it's amazing.
Okay, so let's just dive into that a little deeper. You've called out conspiracy theories, bad journalism. You've said it's political deflection. Why did you respond publicly this time? Like, wasn't this just going to blow over? Didn't you feel just let it alone?
No. Why should we let it alone? First of all, you know, the world is always, it's always the Jews that we're 0.2% of the world's population, and we're accused of everything. I mean, what the hell is Israel interested in a country like South Africa? And these Afrophobic riots and expulsions. So I wrote an article in the Times of Israel in January. I'm not Israeli, I'm American. Mm. I'm ex-South African, but I'm American. But because I publish in the Times of Israel, you know, people like Redi Klabi and others linked me to being an Israeli businessman, putting out conspiracy theories and manipulating the world. First of all, it's quite a thrill for me to be considered that important. But, you know, for them to throw away their own credibility and integrity on creating such stupid conspiracy theories. And the reason I responded is because these are the classical paths on how conspiracy theories are created. Find a Jew, link a Jew to something. You don't need any truth or facts. Just find somebody in the periphery, create a hate campaign, and then you're not responsible for anything that you do. It's the Jews.
Grant, to a certain extent, I kind of had a feeling that some of this was going to come your way when you wrote that article talking about the need for certain African states to, how should we put it?
Fragment.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Did you not think that that was going to invite a massive tsunami of criticism and be misinterpreted precisely for the reason that you're kind of playing into the hands of the naysayers?
No, I didn't, because it was a thoroughly logical piece of writing.
Can you give us the kind of top line headline summary of what it is you were arguing in that piece?
Okay, so the Berlin Conference in the 1880s in Europe divided Africa up into European fiefdoms, and they didn't care what population lived where, what were the natural boundaries. They just sliced up Africa and they said, all right, you one country now with disparate groups. And it's led to massive amounts of fighting, a huge amount of genocides, huge human rights problems. South Sudan split, Biafra needs to split, Zimbabwe needs to split between Matabeleland and the Shona. There are lots of separation movements within Africa that are entirely valid, and everything needs to be discussed. I'm not suggesting that I have the solution to anything. What I am suggesting is that people need to have conversations about how to resolve problems. And if that is one path on how to save lives, then let's have the conversation. And if it isn't a solution, we'll move on to the next issue. We'll move on to the next possible solution. But if we don't examine every aspect of a problem, we are not going to solve these problems. So no, I didn't expect this at all. I expected that the Matabele do want to separate. South Africa is, by some definitions, already a failed state, and we saw that on June the 30th, because the government officials cannot control security in the country. Security is taken into the hands of individuals, and these roundup and deportations, well, they form a version of ethnic cleansing. And truly, if you examine the legal positions put forward by South Africa at the ICJ against Israel, if you overlay that against what happened in South Africa on June the 30th, there are parallels which can be drawn. Now, I'm not calling that a genocide. I'm saying that South Africa was a paid filer of the lawsuit against Israel and took multiple different legal positions. But South Africa now owns those legal positions, and South Africa needs to be measured by the legal positions that they took. And if you do that, South Africa stands clearly guilty of features of a genocide from the actions of June the 30th and features of ethnic cleansing. Now, South Africa doesn't get to hold everybody else in the world accountable for accusations and escape that accountability themselves. So if they want to deflect and say that me, myself, and I, Grant Gushon in California, is controlling what's going on in the streets of South Africa, that is the most simplistic, idiotic, abstract deflection that there could be. It just shows the desperation of the ANC government in South Africa, and it shows the absurdity of their positions. Now, there was a radio interview. I think there was a Radio Gold.
Radio Gold, Kwesi Pratt. That's my very next question, where this is exactly. He's accused you of funding chaos and xenophobic attacks, and you've challenged him to bring evidence.
Well, he has no evidence. He said on the radio that he's seen memorandums. What memorandums? Show us the memorandums. If he is so moronic as to stand up in public and say, "Well, I've seen the memorandums, and the memorandums are apparently about me," I'd like to see those memorandums. Show them to me. I am a guy in California writing opinion pieces which I publish on Substack and in the Times of Israel. I publish in the Times of Israel because Times of Israel offered a platform many, many years ago that others didn't offer, and that's where I started publishing. I've got 400 plus pieces in the Times of Israel over the last decade. He chooses one and he says, "Grant Gushon created the conspiracy theory that's behind this march and march," or whatever the name of that is.
That linkage is remarkable to me. That just blows me
It is
away.
remarkable. It takes stupidity to a whole new level. So I challenge him, either produce the memoir, show me how I'm funding anything, or resign in disgrace because you're an idiot.
My gut reaction to you is kind of twofold. On the one hand, I think you're amazingly brave and I've got such respect for what it is that you are doing. On the other hand, I just think you seem like a steam train going full speed ahead off a cliff. I mean, to get so involved in this issue of fragmentation in an African context, granted, it's a scary place to be. I mean, Africa, if it ultimately had to devolve to its constituent parts, I shudder to think how we'd get there. Surely it's more practical to do it the other way around and talk about a pan-Africanist approach where you can kind of unite and find your space in all this together. Where does this end the other way around?
You know, if you go back in my writings earlier, yeah. I did take a pan-African approach.
Interesting.
And I wanted, you know, I was with the African Union and, you know, thinking of a borderless Africa with one African passport, with free movement and free labor. Unfortunately, there's 55 different governments that are not willing to give power to anybody else. There's vast amounts of corruption. There's vast amounts of xenophobia and Afrophobia. And Pan-Africanism isn't going to work. So if that doesn't work, then let's talk about how many genocides are actively ongoing on the African continent now. And, you know, the country closest to South Africa is Zimbabwe, and there was a genocide in the 1980s. And it's not spoken about, and it's denied. And there's genocides going on in Darfur, in Sudan. You know, look at what was going on in Ethiopia just a couple of years ago, and these are not addressed. So a government like the ANC is trying to deflect attention onto an easy victim like Israel to deflect away from their own failures. If we are going to save lives in Africa, which is my interest, saving African lives, protecting human life on the African continent, a continent that I'm dedicated to and a continent that I love. These are questions
have the discussion,
must be
so what
discussed.
You're saying. I'm out of time. So final question for you this afternoon. You've kind of intimated in our conversation today in a lighthearted way that everybody thinks you've got the money and the power to destabilize a whole continent. But kind of underneath that, Grant, it must be a scary place to be right now. Does this level of accusation and the kind of vitriol that you're experiencing at the moment, do you think it could cross over to become personally dangerous? Are you concerned in any manner, shape, or form?
I'm American. My American passport protects me. You know, if we are going to save African lives, somebody needs to take some risk. And I will not stand by silently while the ANC sows dissent and accuses everybody else of every nefarious act that there is in order to deflect from their own failures. Somebody needs to stand up for South Africans. Somebody needs to stand up for the Matabele in Zimbabwe. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing enough of a mass movement to stand up for the defense of innocent people. So I'm not worried about my own security because somebody has to do it.
Grant Goshen, we leave it there. Thank you for a very different conversation this afternoon. Thank you. We'll chat again, I am sure. I have no doubt. Just be safe and look after yourself.